you know, I'm basically like, I'm at a standstill right now until I can get the complete file of the data as far as DNA testing. Then not able to go forward.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
C.J. Ford Jr. is a California-based private investigator who runs a one-man shop in a sparsely furnished office in the same Orange County church where he serves as an usher during Saturday night services.
I have a meeting with the ACLU at 3 o'clock.
Ford is devoted to helping people with little resources who are often overwhelmed or neglected by the justice system. And for almost a decade, he's committed countless hours to the cause of exonerating a man on California's death row who he believes is innocent. But to understand C.J. Ford's passion for righting the wrongs of the criminal justice system, it helps to first understand C.J. Ford's career path.
I've always had this tendency to be a little bit like nosy, and I used to watch the Rockford Files. I mean, that was my favorite show.
Like his TV hero, Jim Rockford, Ford spent years tailing cheating spouses and insurance frauds around Southern California for little or no money.
I guess my business, when I first started off, kind of went like the Rockford Files. I'd have clients that didn't pay me and, you know, and all that kind of stuff like that.
But everything changed for Ford after he got involved investigating the famous Rampart police corruption scandal in the 90s. And a personal brush with the law changed his outlook forever.
I stopped you, he said, because your windows are tinted. And I told him, well, you know, I bought the car like this, you know, but, you know, just give me a citation, whatever, and I'll make whatever correction is. Then the police officer said, well, I want to look into your trunk. And then right then, it hit me in my head, in the Rampart cases. I said, this is what these guys were telling me, that they get stopped and all of a sudden they go into their trunk and they find all these drugs and stuff. I wouldn't let them look in my trunk. So they detained me for over an hour. I told myself after that day that I'm gonna devote my life into looking into criminal justice because there was something wrong.
And now Ford is fighting the most important case of his life, and he believes he's made a crucial discovery that could free an innocent man. Kenneth Clare has spent the past 3 decades on death row for the alleged brutal rape and murder of a 25-year-old woman. Clare had burglarized the same house where the murder occurred a few days earlier, which is what led authorities to him in the first place. But there was something that troubled Ford about Clare's conviction from the very beginning.
That there was a white boy that was about 5 or 6 years old that saw the person that committed the crime. He described the person as a white man.
The victim was babysitting at the time of her murder, and there was a 5-year-old boy in her care who witnessed the killing. He told police that the killer was a white man, an account that gained credibility when the boy demonstrated to the homicide detective that he could distinguish between races when shown different photographs.
All of a sudden you take the white man out of the situation and you go next door and convict a black man.
Ford has toiled for almost 10 years on the case, but he recently made a bombshell discovery.
I couldn't believe that the DA was sitting on all this evidence now and not testing it. So I found out that they were testing it, and they knew that the DNA didn't match Clare's. They didn't find any Clare's fingerprints. They found someone else's fingerprints. But there's nothing on the crime scene that belongs to Clare.
Ford believes that the identity of the individual in this DNA report is the key that unlocks the entire case and could lead him to an alternative suspect. But the county has refused to release the name of the DNA match. The Orange County DA's office did not respond to our interview requests, but referred us to a press release which says that the DNA evidence is irrelevant because the victim's sexual assault happened with a vibrator, meaning the fact that male DNA was detected in a swab of the victim's vagina is no indication that she was raped at the time of her murder. But Ford believes the county simply decided too early that they had their man in Kenneth Clare and ignored alternative suspects who may match the DNA on the scene. But while it remains under seal, his investigation of those alternative suspects is majorly obstructed. The county's entire case rests on testimony from Clare's then-girlfriend, Pauline Flores, who claims she saw him on the night of the murder with blood on his hand, holding a large turquoise charm that the owner of the home the victim was watching reported as missing. Several weeks after the murder occurred, the police pressured Flores to wear a wire or possibly face accessory charges. and they claim that Claire confessed to the murder on tape.
But that damn jewelry you showed me, Kenny?
Why is you keep fucking pressing me about this bullshit, huh?
What do you mean bullshit?
Huh? Because that's all it is, bullshit.
Bull?
You keep on fucking pressing me about this bullshit.
Well,
I can't prove a motherfucking thing. Not next to your motherfucking mouth.
My mouth isn't going to go open.
What the fuck is wrong with you then?
That's not a confession. That's just like, hey, just like leave me alone type of thing.
While this might have sounded like a confession to some jurors, the police at the time didn't think it was strong enough to stand on its own and wired up Flores a second time. On both tapes, Claire repeatedly denies committing the murder when directly confronted.
Tell me, Kenny, tell me what the hell happened. Did you kill that girl?
No, don't you ask me that, huh? Please.
Well, tell me.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, I didn't.
Bullshit, I know you better.
Now, you asked me to tell you, and I told you. Didn't you ask me to tell
you? And that's a motherfucking lie.
And a bigger problem with the state's case is that Pauline Flores, whose undercover tape and eyewitness testimony sealed her ex-boyfriend Kenneth Clare's fate in court, has since signed a statement recanting much of her testimony. In this interview, she tells CJ Ford that she was still recovering from a serious accident on the day of the murder, and that the police may have manipulated her unreliable memory to fit their timeline.
If I couldn't even remember my own family, and my timeline is right there, I probably, you know, messed up on my timeline quite a bit.
So in other words, I was used as a sucker.
I believe that.
Well, I'm believing it now.
If Pauline Flores wasn't there, everything she testified in the court shouldn't have even been part of the testimony, because she wasn't there, period.
The Ninth Circuit Court converted Kenneth Clare's death sentence to life without parole late last year, but sealed the records and didn't overturn the conviction. Now that he's off death row, he's no longer entitled to the same level of public defense, and he won't be getting a retrial in the absence of significant new evidence pointing to his innocence or to another's guilt. Claire's case seems to have stalled, but CJ Ford started an online petition asking the DA's office to release the name of the DNA match. It attracted more than 159,000 signatures, and he's turned it in to the district attorney.
It's a fact that this is an innocent man.
The DA's office might ignore him, the courts might ignore him, but CJ Ford is prepared to do whatever it takes to see this case through to the end.